98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk.
Good morning. It is 6 o'clock, and this is the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. I'm Ted Woodward. Steve McIntosh has the day off. It is Monday, July 22nd. Our full weather forecast is on the way here on this Monday. Currently in Wichita, we have a clear sky. It is 65 degrees. And like we said, our full weather forecast is on the way. President Joe Biden has dropped out of the race for the White House, ending his bid for re-election. We're learning new details about the dropout process. This report from the White House.
He phoned the vice president a few times, told her this was happening. She now says, with this selfless and patriotic act, President Biden is doing what he has done throughout his life of service, putting the American people and our country above everything else. Senior White House staffers were told about the president's dropout at 1:45 p.m. That is 1 minute before his X account told the whole world. Part of the president's point there. It has been the greatest honor of my life to serve as your president. And while it has been my intention to seek re-election, I believe it is in the best interest of my party and the country for me to stand down and focus solely on fulfilling my duties as president for the remainder of my term.
And that's Fox's Peter Ducey with that report. A U.S. senator from Kansas reacting to the president dropping out of the race.
If the Democrat Party doesn't trust Joe Biden to win the presidential election in November, then why is he being allowed to finish out his current term? That question was posed to U.S. Senator Dr. Roger Marshall.
There's no way people can make any type of sense out of this. We've all seen his steady, dramatic cognitive decline. He can't put two sentences together. He is the biggest, other than our national debt, and the open border, he's the biggest national security threat that we face right now.
Senator Marshall commented Sunday night on the John Whitmer Show here on KNSS. Phil Hildebrand, KNSS News.
A 64-year-old man suffered critical injuries in an apartment fire that was Saturday morning.
Wichita fire crews responded just before 10 a.m. to the Amadon Place Apartments in the 2700 block of North Amadon. When firefighters arrived, they could see light smoke coming from one of the units and found a small fire on the floor. The injured man was transported to a local hospital for smoke inhalation. The fire was brought under control quickly. There's no word on a cause for the fire or a damage estimate at this time. Rodney Price, KNSS News.
A man pleads guilty to a hit-and-run accident that killed a Wichita man outside of Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City. 21-year-old Thomas Wire pleaded guilty to leaving the scene of an accident resulting in death. Wire was charged in the crash that killed 66-year-old Stephen Hickel during a rain delay at a football game in October of 2021. A Jackson County, Missouri judge suspended a 4-year prison sentence. Wire will instead serve a month in jail. He will then be required to wear an electronic monitor for 3 months and complete 40 hours of community service, as well as serve 5 years probation. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is on his way to the United States, to Washington, D.C. He spoke about President Biden before setting off.
Benjamin Netanyahu says he'll meet President Biden and thank him for more than 40 years of friendship and support, calling it a time of great political uncertainty.
It's important that Israel's enemies know that America and Israel stand together today, tomorrow, and always.
Prime Minister Netanyahu will push the president on areas where he wants more help. Meanwhile, the Israeli military's ordered the evacuation of an area of Gaza designated a humanitarian zone. Commanders say they're about to attack Hamas fighters who've used the area to launch rockets against Israel. Jonathan Savage, Fox News.
At tomorrow's Wichita City Council meeting, the council will take part in a workshop. Parks and Rec will discuss recreational activities in the city. Sedgwick County commissioners are going to meet then on Wednesday. They'll be talking about a nearly $28 million project to house the county's administrative offices. A site for the potential new home is not listed in the county's meeting agenda. County commissioners will also talk about a lease agreement for ComCare Children's Services. Many Americans are struggling in one aspect of their lives, and we'll tell you about that coming up. And marking the anniversary of a space event, or the end of a space event in U.S. history. And, of course, our full weather forecast is on the way as we get going here on this Monday, July 22nd. We're glad you're with us here on 98.7 and 13. 6:09 with Steve and Ted in the morning here on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. New information shows many Americans are struggling to afford the cost of living nationwide. This report from North Bay Village, Florida.
The high cost of living, that was a big topic for former President Donald Trump at his RNC acceptance speech.
Mortgage rates have quadrupled. And the fact is, it doesn't matter what they are because you can't get the money anyway.
And now a 40-hour work week is no longer good enough for millions of Americans working minimum wage jobs. A new study found in Florida, the average minimum wage worker making $12 an hour has to work 98 hours a week to afford a modest one-bedroom apartment. Here in Miami, locals are quickly being priced out, spending 70% of their monthly disposable income to afford rent, according to Zillow data.
And that's Fox's Dana Marie McNichol with that report. Hey, it's been 13 years since a NASA space shuttle last flew.
We often today see private capsules like the one from SpaceX take astronauts to space, but once there were majestically winged space shuttles. And on this day in 2011, space shuttle Atlantis, with Commander Chris Ferguson and pilot Doug Hurley, ended the 30-year-long program.
Main gear touchdown. Hurley now deploying the drag chute. Ferguson rotating the nose gear down to the deck. Nose gear touchdown.
And the voice of NASA, Rob Navius, with the commentary. Atlantis was the grand old lady of the remaining fleet of three, along with Discovery and Endeavour.
A ship like no other, its place in history secured. The space shuttle pulls into port for the last time.
Atlantis today is displayed at the Kennedy Space Center's visitor complex. Eben Brown, Fox News.
It's 6:11 with Steve and Ted in the morning here on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. And, of course, as we get the week started here on the Monday morning commute, we'll be keeping you updated on traffic conditions all morning long, handled by Jad Chambers.
Well, good traffic conditions right now. Not really seeing too many problems. Traffic volumes still pretty light, just barely starting to pick up out there. Cordell and Cordell traffic cameras do show stalled out vehicle, though. So watch out when the traffic volumes pick up, potentially slowing down. Stalled out vehicle eastbound Kellogg, and it's right around Hillside. Traffic update from 98.7 at 1330 KNSS. I'm Jad Chambers.
And we take a look at our weather forecast as we get the week started. Let's check in with KSN meteorologist Ronnell Williams.
For your Monday, as we get the new week started, expect mostly sunny to partly cloudy skies. Only a 10% chance of a shower or storm. Likely staying pretty dry today as we kickstart the new week. High of 85 degrees. Temperatures continuing to stay below the norm. With your Storm Track 3 forecast, I'm meteorologist Ronnell Williams.
Currently in Wichita, we have a clear sky, 65 degrees. Here at Wichita's Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Here on this Monday, July 22nd. 6:13 with Steve and Ted here on KNSS as we get going here on this Monday. I ended up with a busy weekend, wrapped it up late last night with the final performance of Hello, Dolly.
That's right. How'd everything go?
Oh, great. We had great crowds all weekend, and I wished we could have done it a couple more weekends. That was a fun show to do. I'm sorry to see it come to an end.
Well, you were really looking forward to doing this one, I imagine, because it was a big show, and then that was one you hadn't done before.
One I had never done.
Yeah.
It's a bedrock American musical, so I was really pleased to do it over at St. James Episcopal Church, the Guildhall Players. And I met some nice listeners that came to the show. Some of them said they saw me for the first time and came out to enjoy that. So it was a real pleasure. And thanks to all the folks at Guildhall, we had a really nice, fun weekend putting on Hello, Dolly, and had some great crowds along the way. So that was a lot of fun. And thanks for the listeners I saw that came out and came to the show. 6:14 with Steve and Ted here on KNSS. Restaurant critics appear to have the pretty good job in journalism. You get to enjoy meals a few nights a week. Someone else is paying for it. Yeah, good stuff.
That sounds nice. Yeah.
But New York Times restaurant critic Pete Wells says it's a little more complicated than that. In a recent column, he announced he's leaving the beat because the constant eating has led to obesity and health problems.
Ooh.
To write a review, critics usually make two or three visits to a restaurant, taste as many dishes as possible. And he says restaurant fast foods tend to contain higher than ideal levels of salt and saturated fat. That's according to a study from Tufts University. So Restaurant critic Pete Wells, he got tired of the consequences of the food critic job, and he's going to something else at the New York Times.
There's generally something in any job that you think, really want to do
that. The dream job always has.
Yeah, there's usually some kind of huge catch. Yeah,
exactly. He's a comedian. Oh, she's a comedian. I'm sorry. She is a comedian. She is 89 years old. And this is not a good story. She's recovering after she was randomly punched and knocked to the ground.
What?
Just while she was waiting to cross the street in New York. Diane Forrest said she'd stopped at a coffee shop, heading to a swimming pool. She's 89 years old, remember? Someone came up from behind and hit her in the eye.
Ah.
It's a female suspect. So the female suspect had a medium complexion, cornrow braids, last seen wearing a tank top and shorts with a Jurassic Park logo. Let's go back to our victim, Diane Forrest. She holds the Guinness World Record for being the oldest working female comedian. Well, bless her heart. And somebody attacked her.
Wow.
Random. Not good. Hope they get that suspect.
Hope so, too.
Diane Forrest, the 89-year-old comedian. Now I'm intrigued about her act.
Yeah.
I want to see her set. See what she's got going on. It's 6:16 with Steve and Ted. An historic gold rush town in Northern California is now at the center of a restitution fight led by black families who say their ancestors' land was taken. Of course, gold was found in Coloma, California, back in 1848, and that's a discovery that kind of set off the California gold rush. White, Asian, and free and enslaved black people settled in the town in the years that followed. Well, decades later, the government seized land from families of all races to make way for the Marshall Gold Discovery State Park. Black residents living today, who say they are descended from families who owned property in Coloma before it was seized, are now seeking compensation for the land to be returned. Let's go over to Key West. Let's go way over to the other side of the country. Of course, famous writer Ernest Hemingway spent the 1930s in Key West in Florida. And more than six decades after his death, he's still got fans, scholars, and relatives still congregating on the island city and celebrating the author's award-winning novels and adventure-filled life. Hemingway Days.
Hemingway Days.
Started in 1981. They did a short story competition and a look-alike contest. It was pretty good. This year's celebration wrapped up yesterday on the 125th anniversary of Hemingway's birth, July 21 of 1899.
Hmm.
As a novelist, short story writer, journalist, Hemingway's spot in the pantheon of American literature, undeniable. His legacy permeates the culture and character of Key West. When I was in Key West, we walked by the Hemingway house, but it was closed. I think it was a Sunday and it was closed, but couldn't get in. But there's cats. There's like tons of cats still on the property that Ernest Hemingway kept around, and they're still on the property. There are cats that hang out on the front porch and on the veranda and enjoy life in Key West all these years later. There we go. It is 6:18 with Steve and Ted here on KNSS. All right, let's see what's going on in sports. We will start out in Major League Baseball with the Kansas City Royals, finishing up a weekend set after the All-Star break with the Chicago White Sox, the absolute worst team in Major League Baseball. So when you're playing that team, you want to pick up wins, and that's exactly what the Royals did this weekend. They took care of business, and it helps when All-Star Seth Lugo is on the mound. Lugo retired 14 straight batters, and he didn't even need to go to the bullpen. First career complete game, the Royals beat the White Sox 4-1 for a three-game series sweep. Lugo only gave up one run, six strikeouts. He allowed an infield hit to Tommy Pham, leading off the game, and then got the next 14 guys out. Nice.
That helps.
Yep. Then in the eighth inning, Hunter Renfroe hit a single, and that scored Bobby Witt Jr. to break a 1-1 tie. Whoa, glad they finally got to Lugo some run support. Of course, you heard the game yesterday on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Grabbing his breaking ball, the pond is lined into left field for a hit. That's going to score another run. And the Royals have made it 4-1. And the White Sox bullpen. So Blanco with a two-hit game. Runners end up first and third now for Kyle Isbell. And that may be it for Brebbian.
Yeah, there you go. Denny Matthews with the call there as the Royals put up three runs in the bottom of the eighth and beat the White Sox 4-1. They got to the White Sox bullpen Well, there's your weak link. The White Sox bullpen leads the major leagues 24 blown saves and 33 losses. So, get to the White Sox bullpen and they're done. All right, three-game sweep for the Royals. It's good stuff. The Royals' homestand now continues, and they have interleague play. The Arizona Diamondbacks, last year's pennant winner in the National League, coming to Kansas City. Diamondbacks and the Royals tonight, 7 o'clock. Listen live on 97.5 and 1240 KFH. All-star Cole Reagans is on the mound for the Royals, the lefty with a 3.16 earned run average. All right, so there you go. The Royals doing well after the all-star break and beating up on the White Sox. Let's go to minor league baseball. Yesterday afternoon, the end of a very brief three-game home series for Wichita. The Wind Surge wins a low-scoring, well-pitched game, 2-1 in the series finale against the Frisco Rough Riders at Riverfront Stadium. Wichita scored both runs in the first inning, got a 2-0 lead, and then held on the rest of the way. So that's pretty good stuff as Wichita's in the win column. The Wind Surge, though, most of their games this month are on the road, and that was just a very brief three-game home set. Off day today for Wichita as they will travel for road play the rest of the week. Taylor Floyd got his first win of the season for the Wind Surge. Got a couple of scoreless innings in relief. Strikeout as well. All right, Wind Surge in the win column yesterday downtown at Riverfront Stadium. All right, let's check in, see some other sports events from the weekend.
Xander Schauffele fired a 6-under-65 to win the British Open Sunday, adding the claret jug to his PGA Championship from May. Schauffele's win also completes the first American sweep of the four majors since 1982. Kyle Larson won the Brickyard 400 to take the NASCAR Cup points lead after finishing 18th in an IndyCar at the Indy 500 in May. And the Baseball Hall of Fame opened its doors to four new members Sunday. Adrian Beltre and Joe Mauer go in as first ballot Hall of Famers. All-time Rocky Todd Helton also went in, along with manager Jim Leland, who led the Marlins to the 1997 World Series title. That's your sports on the Fox News Rundown. Tim McMaster, Fox News.
All right, and that's sports with Steve and Ted here on KNSS. Sports is brought to you by Bel Air Recovery Center. Proud to serve veterans that served our nation. Located in Northeast Wichita, Bel Air Recovery Center improves the lives they touch. It is 6:22 with Steve and Ted here on KNSS. Coming up, we have a traffic and weather update and the effects of jet lag. A better life with Dr. Sanjay Gupta. That's next, Steve and Ted on KNSS. Good morning. It is 6:30. You are listening to 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. It is Monday, July 22nd. Currently in Wichita, we have a clear sky, 65 degrees here on this Monday morning. A sitting president has dropped out of the presidential race for the first time since 1968. A look at the path to this decision from Rehoboth Beach, Delaware.
The president's decision came together in less than a day, but it followed mounting pressure that stemmed from one of the most consequential decisions of his campaign, and that was holding the first presidential debate before the convention. That was on June 27th. And then his interview with ABC News on July 5th did not do enough to recover him. On the 12th, major Democratic donors started pulling out. And over the coming weeks, leaders like Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, Hakeem Jeffries, Barack Obama all communicated their fears that Biden staying in the race would take down Democratic majorities in both the House and the Senate.
And that's Fox's Jackie Heinrich with that report. So now that President Biden has dropped out of the race and Vice President Kamala Harris is seen as the new Democratic candidate, U.S. Senator from Kansas Dr. Roger Marshall giving his thoughts on whether the Republicans can take advantage coming up in the election in November.
Yeah, I absolutely do. It doesn't matter who they run. They have to own the fact that they've been lying to America, and the Democrats have to own their failed border policy, the 11 million illegal aliens that have crossed this country. They have to own the horrible economy that they've given us as well. So I'm very, very optimistic at the end of the day.
Senator Marshall commenting on the John Whitmer Show last night right here on KNSS. Wichita police are investigating after an overnight shooting injured two people, one of them critically. That incident was at 1 in the morning yesterday at Cessna Park in southeast Wichita. And in addition to the critically injured person, there was also a second victim with minor injuries. A man from New York ordered to pay back a Wichita woman after investigators say he scammed her out of more than $100,000 in a romance scam.
The Sedgwick County District Attorney's Office said someone claiming to be Victor contacted the 78-year-old widow on social media in 2020. He convinced the woman that he needed money to resolve some financial problems so that they could eventually be together. The woman sent the man a check, which went to 35-year-old Jangle Torrey of New York City. A financial crimes investigator froze multiple financial accounts connected to Torrey. D.A. Mark Bennett says Torrey pleaded guilty earlier this year to the mistreatment of an elder person. Dan O'Neill, KNSS News.
A newly posted video of Miss Kansas calling out her domestic violence abuser on stage is getting a ton of support on social media. Alexis Smith was crowned Miss Kansas last month. She posted a video of her onstage comments just this past week on the platform X. It's now been viewed more than 60,000 times. In the clip, she says her abuser is there in the audience that night, but she wasn't going to let that stop her from speaking out against unhealthy and abusive relationships. Smith just recently started her reign as Miss Kansas and began raising concerns about domestic abuse in interviews. Will the United States continue to protect allies being threatened by the prospect of a takeover should former President Donald Trump win in November?
House Intelligence Committee Chairman Mike Turner of Ohio said on CBS Face the Nation he has no doubt that a new Trump administration would provide Ukraine what it needs to repel Russia. But nations should understand that America is not just an enforcer.
We cannot have the United States just be a guarantor of territorial integrity of countries around the world. We need military alliances. That means they need to be strong and they need to participate. That's certainly what his criticism of NATO has been.
Chairman Turner says the former president wants to end the Russia-Ukraine war and believes a fully equipped Ukraine could force Russia to the negotiating table. Gernal Scott, Fox News.
The New York City Council is facing criticism over a new bill that would create uniform dress codes for students.
The New York City Council voting to approve legislation that would require the Department of Education to be more inclusive when it comes to their dress code policy, with some public schools allowed to adopt individual dress code policies at their own discretion. A number of council members claim that this is unfair and discriminatory against LGBTQ plus students and students of color. Councilwoman Althea Stevens brought this bill to the floor and says that it is vital to protecting our youth, allowing them to feel safe and accepted in their own school building.
We want to make sure that they feel a part of what any dress codes are going on in school, and making sure they feel included.
We're on the Upper West Side. Richard Giacobas, Fox News.
Well, if you needed a reason to cool off with a sweet treat, yesterday was National Ice Cream Day.
The third Sunday in July, and that means National Ice Cream Day is here again. So what ice cream flavor are most Americans reaching in the freezer for? An Instacart analysis based on orders placed last summer found that vanilla was at the top of the list, which is right in line with the YouGov 2022 survey. In both reports, chocolate was in second place. Tanya J. Powers, Fox News.
6:36 with Steve and Ted here on KNSS, and now let's take a look at our weather forecast with KSN meteorologist Ronnell Williams.
For your Monday, as we get the new week started, expect mostly sunny to partly cloudy skies, only a 10% chance of a shower or storm, likely staying pretty dry today as we kickstart the new week. High of 85 degrees, temperatures continuing to stay below the norm. With your Storm Track 3 forecast, I'm meteorologist Ronnell Williams.
And currently in Wichita, we have a clear sky. It is 65 degrees here on this Monday morning, July 22nd. 6:36 with Steve and Ted here on KNSS. Businesses, anywhere from airlines to hospitals, grappling with faulty software update that caused a big technology havoc worldwide last Friday. A lot of those outages highlighting the fragility of a digitized world dependent on a few providers for key computing services. But the problem does appear to divide those affected into the haves and the have-nots. Major customers of Microsoft and CrowdStrike are getting IT support to try to fix those issues. But smaller businesses, whose Windows PCs may have received the problematic update, struggling. since the big outage on Friday. Well, the last time Congress passed a law to protect youngsters on the internet was in the late 1990s. That was before Facebook. That was before iPhones. Long before today's oldest teenagers were even born. Well, now there's a bill aiming to protect kids from the harms of social media, gaming sites, and other online platforms. It appears to have enough bipartisan support to pass, though whether it actually does, still not sure. Supporters, including parent and pediatrician groups, say the bill is a necessary first step in regulating tech companies, as well as requiring them to protect children from harmful online content and take responsibility for the harms that their platforms may cause. EA Sports College Football 25, it's one of the most highly anticipated sports video games of all time. It has flooded the market as gamers who waited for more than a decade for the franchise's next installment rush to give it a play. The game officially launched on Friday, EA Sports increasing its server capacity ahead of time to handle the crush. More than 2 million people had already played the game during an early access period before the launch. EA Sports has said its goal for the game was to feel like a love letter to college football and its fans. 6:38 with Steve and Ted here on KNSS. Fans of the original Legend of Zelda are sure to find a ranger, a role-puzzling adventure, cozily familiar, with a green-clad protagonist fighting monsters and finding treasure across a 2D map. Gimmick here is that every time the intrepid Gemma moves, part of the landscape moves in the same direction. The developers promise a playful sense of chaos and a regular stream of small, thoughtful puzzles. The debut title from an indie studio called Furniture and Mattress, with peppy graphics by the artist who illustrated the cult classic Braid.
Yeah. Braid's a good one. Yeah.
The journey begins Thursday on PlayStation 5, Nintendo Switch, and PC.
Sounds interesting.
It is 6:39 with Steve and Ted here on KNSS. All right, let's check in and get that good information. It's the Daily Commodities Update. Here he is, Tom Leffler of Leffler Commodities. Good morning, Tom.
Well, good morning, Ted and Jad. Friday, the cattle complex opened on the negative side. The close was two-sided for the live cattle, mainly on bulls spreading, while the feeder cattle continued with another negative close. Cash cattle trade in our feed yards this last week is at lower money, both in the south and north feed yards. Now, Friday's cattle on feed report is considered friendly with lower on-feed placement and marketings than what was expected. Lean hogs Friday had several new highs for the week and closed on the positive side. On to close Friday, August live cattle 85 cents higher, 183.10. August feeder cattle were 62 cents lower, 255.60. And August lean hogs 20 cents higher, 91.57. Now the wheat, corn, and soybeans were unable to hold their session highs, and only the wheat closed positive Friday. Last week we saw September KC wheat gain 2 pennies, December corn lost 10 cents. November soybeans lost 29 cents for the week. Now, led by the soybeans, the grains are trading higher this morning, mainly on short covering. September Kansas City wheat, 1¾ cents higher, 571¾. December corn, 6¼ cents higher, 411. And November soybeans up 19 cents at 1055. September crude oil is 28 cents lower at 78.36. August gold, $4.80 higher at 2403.80. September S&P 29 points higher at 5583. September dollar index is 12 cents lower at $103.99. And September Dow Jones futures 56 points higher at 40,618. For commodity trading, ag marketing, or managed trading programs, contact Leffler Commodities on the phone or on the web by using 866-GO-TO-TOM.
Tom, we had that... We started out July below normal temperatures, and then we had a hot week, and now we got another series here where we're a little bit below normal, a little bit unusual for July.
Yeah, that cool weather over the weekend was nice. I was a little bit disappointed that we didn't get the rainfall that we was told we was going to get, and it does look like it's going to warm up this week.
Yeah, kind of on that little bit of roller coaster right now, but yeah, the skies were cloudy, and there were a lot of gray clouds, but didn't see a ton of rain.
No, we didn't, and that is one thing that we could sure use at this time of the year.
Definitely so. That drought sure reappears anytime it doesn't rain. So let's get it going. All right. Hope you had a good weekend.
We did. We had a good weekend, a busy weekend, but we really enjoyed the cooler temperatures.
Yeah, me too. All right. Hey, thanks for checking in with us. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning.
Thank you.
That is great information. The Daily Commodities Update. There he goes, Tom Leffler of Leffler Commodities. It is 642 with Steve and Ted here on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Reasons not to invest. Well, we'll check in, find out about that with the money tracker, Don Grant, coming up shortly here with Steve and Ted, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Forty-seven with Steve and Ted in the morning here on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Keep it here for the Money Tracker with Don Grant, and that's coming up shortly. Now, Steve and Ted, it's time for three big things.
Three.
President Joe Biden has withdrawn from the race in his bid for re-election for a second term in the White House.
Two.
Emergency crews responding to an injury accident. Five people injured. That was near the Sedgwick County Zoo yesterday morning.
One.
Wichita police investigating after a shooting injured two people, one of them with critical injuries. That was at 1 in the morning yesterday at Cessna Park. Three big things with Steve and Ted, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Cordell and Cordell traffic cameras do show some heavier traffic volumes out there in the Wichita area. However, not really seeing too many problems on the roadways. We do have, though, northbound I-35. That's the Kansas Turnpike. Northbound I-35. Pretty close to that South Wichita area. Got the report of a incident in traffic, and they've got the right lane closed there. It's northbound Turnpike, just south of Wichita. Traffic update from 98.7 at 1330 KNSS. I'm Jad Chambers.
And a look at our weather forecast here on this Monday morning. Looking at a high today of 85 degrees. Overnight low down to 66 under a partly cloudy sky. And then on Tuesday, high tomorrow, 89. Mostly sunny today and tomorrow. Currently in Wichita, it is mostly sunny and 65 degrees here on this Monday morning, July 22nd. 6:49 with Steve and Ted here on KNSS. Here on this Monday morning. And let's remind everyone how the stock market fared when everything closed up last Friday.
Stocks ending lower with the Dow suffering its worst 2 days in more than a year amid a global cyber outage and mixed earnings reports. A software update from CrowdStrike, a leading cybersecurity provider, caused outages for millions of users of Microsoft Windows devices. Shares of CrowdStrike tumbled 11%, while Microsoft stock dropped 1%. Shares of Dow member Travelers Companies fell 8%. The insurer reported second quarter profit that beat expectations, but revenue that missed. The Dow winners, Amgen, United Health Group, and Merck, the biggest Dow decliners, Travelers, American Express, and Caterpillar. The Dow down 377 points, the Nasdaq down 144, S&P 500 lower by 40. Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
Reasons not to invest. Look who has dropped by the studio live. It is the Money Tracker, Don Grant, CFP. Good morning, Don.
Good morning, Ted and Jad. Well, you know, every investor seems to have an opinion about the stock market. When some world event happens, like a major presidential election, the invasion of a country, or excessive inflation, many investors think that catastrophic consequences are in the markets. You know, that's going to follow immediately. So they want to lessen their stock exposure or completely get out of the markets. Well, there are always reasons to not invest. But if you study the history of the stock market, those reasons have never sustained losses that don't reach new market highs once the volatility has passed. The markets are up three times as much as they are down. Let's take a look at some historical reasons not to invest and what followed those periods. Well, if you had invested $10,000 50 years ago at the beginning of 1974, I was in high school, you would have suffered an immediate 27% loss after Nixon resigned. The oil crisis hit full stride and global recession deepened. At the end of 2023, the end of last year, that $10,000 would be worth just shy of $2.01 million. Investing $10,000 40 years ago, 10 years later in 1984, 78 U.S. banks had failed. Indira Gandhi was assassinated, and Ethiopia forced widespread famine. Your investment would be worth nearly $731,000 at the end of last year. 10 years ago, in 2014, we saw the Ebola outbreak, deep racial divisions, and the rise of ISIS. Remember ISIS? A $10,000 investment would have tripled by the end of last year to $31,149. Well, what's going on right now? We see the most contentious election in at least in my lifetime, and some recent changes to that. Dysfunctional elected officials. I think we can all agree to that. A questionably politically biased U.S. Supreme Court, the Israel-Hamas war, and the Russian invasion of Ukraine. And since January 1st, the S&P 500 is up more than 15%. Emotional investors may have pulled out of the stock market when they saw those seemingly devastating headlines. If they did, when did they get back in the market? There's always reasons not to invest, but staying invested is historically best despite negative news. Of course, it has to be an allocation that fits exactly what you need. And of course, if you have any questions, you can give me a call over at Saber Wealth. The number's 267-0600.
Yeah, it's one of those big picture things.
Yes, it is. It is. It's very, very, it's just.
Although it seems like in this day and age, we all like to panic.
We do. And that's the problem. I mean, it's like you work hard with your CFP professional to come up with an allocation that is right for you and for your needs. You should have a sort of a target rate of return that you're trying to achieve to get to where you want to be so that you can retire comfortably. Well, why change horses in the middle of the stream when we look at the history of the markets and we realize that 76% of the time the markets are up? And plus all of these panic, you know, things that look like, oh, the world's going to end. The sky's falling,
they
may happen and they may right. move things temporarily, but it always hits new highs. So I'll leave it at that.
Welcome in on a Monday. How'd the weekend go?
Weekend was good. Very busy. I had a renter move out of a property. That was a good thing. And so now I'm left with the aftermath of that. The place was not torn up, but there's a lot of stuff. It's going to take two guys in a truck to get out all the things. It's so funny when people move. There's a handful of certain items that people always leave
behind. Yeah.
Ice chests.
Okay.
Gas cans.
Okay.
Kids' bicycles, vacuum cleaners.
Okay. Wow.
I don't know why. Those are things that people generally leave. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So.
Well, you'll take care of it.
Yeah. Sure. Anybody need an ice chest? I got three new ones. So.
All right. Well, hey.
You had a good weekend yourself?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Finished up Hello Dolly and.
Oh, how did that go?
Went great. Had great crowds all weekend.
Good.
Yeah, that was a ton of fun this week.
Good.
And I did two of those TBT basketball games at Coke Arena on Saturdays.
So. Oh, how was that?
That was great. A lot of fun. And then got two more games tonight. So
gotta love it.
We'll be hitting that hard.
All right.
All right, good to see you. Thanks for checking
Thanks for
in. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning.
All right.
There he is, the Money Tracker, Don Grant, CFP, every weekday morning right here with Steve and Ted. 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Coming up, of course, we'll take a look at the aftermath as President Biden is dropping out of the presidential race. Those details and reaction are on the way. KNSS News Time, 6:56.
Securities offered through Kestra Investment Services, LLC, member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Kestra Advisory Services, LLC, an affiliate of Kestra IS. Saber Wealth is not affiliated with Kestra IS or Kestra AS.